Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. It's Haberman of Middlecoff on YouTube and in your podcast feed. I'm Guy, that's John. And we are brought to you by our friends at Tito's. They sponsor this show. Tito's, handmade vodka. Belly up to the bar, have it at your house, bring it to somebody else's house. You'll always be the hero. Tito's and soda, Cam Inman. I ran into our boy Cam yesterday, John. Said we're in his top three podcasts. Go-to podcast is this show. Cover the Niners for a quarter century.
Say go Mustangs.
Big Tito's and soda guy, Cal Poly, Tito's handmade vodka. Do we have a Tito's toast today, John? I know I do.
Fire away.
John, a Tito's toast to old Jerry Jones. And when I say old, I don't mean old. He's 81. But I just mean like old Jerry Jones, who's just swinging that axe trying to win a championship. And he doesn't hold grudges. That's what I respect about Jerry. Mike McCarthy lied to him in his introductory interview process. Said, I watched every snap of the 2019 season, Jerry, and Ed Werder stood up in the first press conference and said, Mike, what'd you learn? And Mike goes, well, actually, I lied. I just wanted the job, Jerry. And Jerry was like, 4 years later, no Super Bowls delivered, not even close. Not holding it against Mike that he's unprepared. Not holding it against Mike that he doesn't win in the postseason. Not holding it against Mike that he's a 12-win coach and nothing more. Somebody said to me yesterday, like, you can't fire him after 12. I said, well, you're never going to fire him then, John, because all he does is win 12 games, then get bounced in the playoffs. So with Tito's toast to Jerry Jones, who is still swinging that pick, refuses to give up, loyal, doesn't hold grudges.
Well, it looks like Lurie's going to do the same and say this. His coach is worse than Mike. Would you agree with that?
Not even close, John. Yes.
Because I was thinking if Mike got fired, everyone thinks he's a village idiot because his standard's high, which isn't fair. He loses in the playoffs. But like, would Dave Tepper die to have, you know, would the Atlanta Falcons want Mike McCarthy? Like, he's proven to be pretty good. He's just obviously for the Cowboys or the Niners, some of these teams.
Here's another way to compare him to Sirianni. If nobody made him head coach, he'd immediately become one of the best offensive coordinators in the league. Nick Sirianni.
Mike
would. Yeah. Nick Sirianni, whenever his time in Philly's done, is not going to be somebody else's OC.
No, I know.
So let alone somebody else's head coach. Well,
to me, like ultimately Mike is like, I don't even think begging for his job. It's just Jerry. Like, do I want to go through a coaching search? I know this guy can call my offensive plays and clearly I'm going to stick with Dak.
My offensive plays.
Sirianni has to go to, you see Jeffrey with a plan. It's like, well, shouldn't half the team be like, well, listen, I'm former wide receiver. Fucking offense is my baby. Like McVay, Shanahan, LaFleur would never have to go to management. Like, I got some ideas for offense. Like, no, that you are the idea for the offense. I think Sirianni, that tweet, like the Mike thing, it was crazy. It was an enormous story when you see he's being retained. Partly it's the Cowboys. I understand
mostly
Jerry.
It's the Cowboys.
Yeah, mostly it's it's just the Cowboys. Jerry doesn't really want to go through the bells and whistles of a search. Like, I don't want to do five fake interviews to ultimately hire Belichick.
I don't even
feel that comfortable with Belichick. That's why I kind of get it. The Sirianni thing is outrageous. I really, when you kind of like all the variables, like ultimately Mike's like, we're rolling everyone back. That won't happen again. And it's like, well, you know, we were at home, big favorite. It's like the Eagles. I think the Eagles are in way worse shape than the Cowboys. Because at least, like, you would pencil the Cowboys to be another 12 wins and be in the playoffs, right?
That's right.
They'll be the favorite to win that division next year, right, over the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean,
I think the Eagles got major problems.
Well, Dallas' problem is not like their offense works, their defense works. I know their defense didn't work the other day, but for the most part, the defense works, their offense works. They score a bunch of points, they stop teams, they get after the quarterback, they win games, they go to the playoffs.
Beside that game against the Packers, for the most part, they play hard.
Yeah, they play hard. Yeah, I mean, Philly, now the difference between Philly and Dallas is Howie Roseman. Like, Philly has been in a situation, Philly's been painted into a corner before. Like, we got this Carson Wentz contract. We just got rid of a Super Bowl coach. Like, what are we going to do?
Yeah, they can pivot.
They have shown, but like, is he going to be able to get out of two historic quarterback contracts or pivot off or get Jalen Hurts better? Their problem is, their fundamental problem is, if he solves the, if Nick says, I got the guy, it's Brian Griese, whatever, I don't know. And Brian Griese comes and fixes the Eagles offense.
Why wouldn't, I mean, it's going to be someone like that. Like, what are his options?
But they're going to be back here again in a year or 2 years if they hire the right guy. If they hire the right OC, that OC is going to want to become a head coach. Other people are going to want to hire him. And then they got to make the same decision they didn't make last time, which was, do we hire Steichen or Gannon and get rid of Sirianni?
Well, if he hired, let's just use Brian Griese. That's an easy one because it honestly feels like Slowick's going to be a head coach. I mean, talk about a fucking
really does.
Dude was at PFF like 4 years ago.
Now John, he was the head coach. I listened to Mike LaFleur today. He was on Schrager's podcast.
Yeah.
And he said, you know,
that's the Rams guy. That's not Matt, yeah, is the Packers.
Correct. And he said Bobby was the, he was the defensive quality control guy or something like that. This is like 5 years ago. And Kyle took him from Sala. Sala was pissed. And Kyle's line was, we can't waste a guy that smart on defense. So then he brought him over to offense. And now, I mean, look at him.
If they hire Bobby Slowick 2.0, so let's just use Brian Griese. It could be Kubiak or whatever. Let's just say the Eagles hire someone from the Niners or the Rams. If Jalen Hurts then is in the MVP discussion next year, that guy is immediately interviewing what for 60% of the open jobs?
You have to fire Sirianni and just hire that person. I think you'd have to. Jeffrey Lurie's just using Sirianni as like a search firm. Like, hey, just go bring me all the best coaches you can find.
Kind of genius.
It is kind of genius. If you promote your head coach from within, do you still have to do all the rules? I guess Mark Davis.
Yeah, because the Raiders are doing them. Yeah, yeah.
But did you know, like, the Patriots didn't?
It was in writing, and he was a minority candidate.
But AP's a minority candidate. But you're right. It was. Somebody said that they had
done it with the league office last year,
which is pretty funny, right? Like, just coach and waiting, basically.
Well, there were reports that, like, I read a couple articles, would be strong headlines, and heard people mention on podcasts that, like, Mayo was kind of rogue this year.
Oh,
he just walked around like, I can fucking do whatever I want. I'm the next head coach, you know? So people were like, kind of, he was rubbing people the wrong way. Don't totally blame him. Like, yeah, this Titanic's sinking. I got another boat over here, buddy.
I got some things I would change here,
like,
Bill.
Best friends with, everyone thinks that, like, all the Belichicks are fired. Like, Steve Belichick is one of his best friends. Like, he legitimately, like, is tight with Steve. Not Bill. He's tight with Bill too, but Steve.
Well, Deuce Gruden wasn't fired when John Gruden was.
You still, you don't see the playoffs started, but like when the Raiders typically play during the regular season, Deuce is still roaming around.
Do you know Josh Dubow, our buddy from the Associated Press?
I don't know if you've seen some clips. I saw it on Twitter within the last week. There was a, in the courtroom, Gruden with his lawyer.
John looked confident.
I think there's litigation, a lot of connections, you know?
John looked confident.
I think he knows when you're already rich and you're going to take them down and it's, on principle, it's the money aspect is so tiny. It's about I will not stop. I will not rest until
this
I win.
The purpose of my life now.
Did you see Albright? Albright, like a couple weeks ago, did what coaches, and he did like Raiders AP, and then in parentheses he put Gruden ?
No, I didn't see that. I think he's coming back. Maybe not this year, but I think he's coming back. Our boy Josh Dubow from the Associated Press told me yesterday that if the Chiefs were to win the Super Bowl this year, Andy and Mahomes would hold the record for most wins by a coach quarterback combo in Allegiant Stadium. At like 4. I was like, bro, how prepared are you?
Where does he get these nuggets?
That's what I said. That's what I asked him, actually. So
they're probably lucky it won't happen, but I would imagine they get a win next year.
All right, let's get into a couple things, John. Tito's Handmade Vodka, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof. I mean, we've already started getting into things. But I did not realize it was Mark Chmura who made some comments on local radio. Not sure which radio station it was. Somewhere up in the Finger Lakes.
Probably doing pretty good numbers, Packer Talk, right now.
Yeah, I guess. And he said, hit Brock Purdy, get a 15-yard penalty on a quarterback hit early in the game. Was it more colorful than that? I barely watched the
game. It was basically be willing to take, like, early on in the game to set the tone, take a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah.
Do you remember the play? It was Alabama, Michigan, and Harbaugh's fullback took the Alabama guy, drove him to the ground, and then, like, headbutted him and got a penalty. And Michigan's one of the least penalized teams in the sport. And I remember immediately thinking, like, I would imagine he was told by the running coach, maybe Jim, like, we're setting the tone that the big bad SEC guys were equally as tough. Like, we're not acting like we're the toughest guy in the block, but we are not fucking intimidated by you. And when I saw the reaction to this, not that I'm surprised, how do you think football people talk? This is a violent sport. What were the Ravens' mindset against Brock Purdy? We're going to fuck you up. Now, the verbiage, when it comes from a coach of kill the body, the head will die. Yeah, you get a year suspension. What do you think's being said in the meeting rooms with Chris Kocurek about Jordan Love? Tackle him softly. Make sure he hits the ground lightly, Jordan.
Now, remember, Dre, under no circumstances. Right,
this is football. This is what we're watching. A violent freaking game. Where when you hit the quarterback and hit him hard, you tend to win. So I thought the reaction, now, you know, Chmura's got a past. It's like, how do you think any of these people talk? You know, and listen, I get it if it were a reaction, if it's just some talking head. This is a guy that was part of some pretty violent battles with the Cowboys and the Niners back when, you know, CTE was running strong. So my reaction of, how do you think the 49ers are talking behind closed doors about Jordan Love? Just give him time. Let him see if he can beat us straight up. Or do you think we're going to fucking pelt this guy? We're going to hit him into oblivion. We're going to hit him so hard. Like, that's how football people talk.
Here's the exact quote. Just let me. You guys are going to think I'm crazy. A 15-yard penalty, and I don't condone this, but I kind of do in the playoffs. A 15-yard penalty for a late hit on Brock Purdy is not a bad thing as long as it's worth it.
Yeah, he didn't say knock him out of the game. He just said let him know we're here. All day, baby.
I actually thought the quote was tame because I didn't like immediately see the quote and then start seeing reaction. I saw reaction and then went and watched the quote yesterday. And I thought it was tamer than I thought when you get like former player, local radio, you
take
get,
his
like,
knee, rip it apart, shatter the other ankle.
Yeah, you get
set
like you
it
get,
on the gurney.
You guys can think I'm crazy, but I say break him in half. I want to see Sam Darnold in this game. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he didn't even say knock him out of the game. He just said hit him hard.
He said get a 15-yard penalty. Which,
again, it's internet reaction. Most football people go, yeah, like as we keep going on in the playoffs, what's going to happen? It's going to get more violent, right? Like what do you think Mike McDonald and the Ravens defense has talked about this week playing CJ Stroud? I mean, the Niners and the Ravens are two good examples.
Make sure he never forgets the day that he played at MTCD Bank Stadium.
they're the bullies of the NFL playing two of the apples of everybody's eye right now at quarterback. And this is the way these people talk. And I would say it's way tampered down from the football. If you're RH, the football, and just the sports in general that we grew up loving, the way their coaches talked about violence, injuries, and that's what made us fall in love with what we were watching. So it's like, I'd argue it's, we're watching the PG version of all this stuff now.
Yeah, I mean, you really don't feel like you're watching that same football. I went back and watched. There was a clip today in my timeline of a Lynn Swann catch, Terry Bradshaw to Lynn Swann, and in a Super Bowl. And Lynn Swann gets mugged 10 yards down the field, like just two forearm, bam. He like comes off the guy, gets down the sideline, makes a sweet catch. I'm like, I don't even recognize that football anymore, right?
Well, there was a play in the Rams game Collinsworth, and he goes, which, why can Tirico do a doubleheader but Chris can't? Like I,
I would get for the analyst. It is. I will say it's pro. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm maybe they wanted to get Garrett in. Maybe that's part of it.
But that's a whole nother discussion. Like props to Tirico. Like he's
Tirico. Maybe Tirico just doesn't say no. They're like, all right, Chris, we're gonna give you the day. You know, they tell Chris day off. Chris like, all right. They tell Mike day off, and Mike's like, no, I'm not letting Eagle do this game.
Yeah, play by play guys never give up the mic.
No,
Chris is like, shit, I'll fly me up the next day. But Puka goes over the middle, and in Chris's mind, I don't blame him. He's just a football player, like going over the middle as a wide receiver in the sport of football. Takes balls. In fairness to Collinsworth, he went over the middle. Ronnie Lott was there ready to just hand him CTE on a platter. I mean, this is where Brady and some of these guys get defensive of like, I'm not allowed. It's why I defended. Remember the Saturday game when Michael Pittman got killed against the Steelers and Gardner Minshew just threw as everyone in football, a hospital ball.
Yeah.
And it's like they kicked out Casey for the year.
Yeah.
He's going to hit him, and then he has to leap because the pass is so shitty, you know? And it's like the quarterback's like, oh, yeah, no big – like he gets zero responsibility. And Puka goes over the middle, and he's like, he didn't get alligator arms. Well, the two DBs, none of them leaped. They waited till he gets down. It's actually way less violent. You know they can't hit you. And if they do get hit, they either are getting tossed out of the game, and you're getting a free 15 yards. So it's like, what can the defensive lineman even really do? Like – body slam him, maybe, I guess. But how often do we even see that? It's hard to get a free rush. I mean, it's not even – it sounds way crazier even to someone that's offended by that, which I think is a tiny, minuscule little bit of a population. But it's harder to actually execute that, right? Your coordinator, who, let's face it, Packer fans want to run out of town. I mean, they can't stand Joe Barry. Isn't exactly Vic Fangio in his prime here. So are you getting some, like, unreleased looks – you know, guys running free?
Not many.
I think it's actually be crazier, like, hit their offensive players harder. But it's like, okay, what are you going to do? Fucking try to truck Debo? Fuck you up. What are you going to do? Run over Kittle? Run over McCaffrey? I mean, you can't catch Ayuk. Like, your defense stinks. He's talking like, yeah, we had Reggie White. I mean, that's who he had. Right? That's probably how it happened. Easier with Reggie White. It's a little harder for their group.
Not that we do the show directly to just react to chat comments, but not surprisingly, John, people think we're missing the point. We don't understand. I took what Chamora said as a 15-yard penalty for a late hit on Brock's not a bad thing as long as it's worth it. Does as long as it's worth it to you mean hurt him? To me, what it meant was you got to get in his dome. That's what as long as it's worth it meant to me. Like you got to rattle him. That's how I took
somebody,
that.
Though? Like
well, you know. You know, blinds, you know, just like you can cut it loose on a blindside hit when a guy's just like there is standing there and the play is long over and you come and hit him in the, you know, use your helmet in the small of his back. Right. I don't think we're talking like any given Sunday level. I don't think he's talking any given Sunday level cheap shots here. I think he's talking. Don't be afraid to get a 15-yard penalty. That's what he said. I think he's saying get in the guy's dome, not put him on a stretcher. How do you just answer that question, though? Is he saying get in the guy's dome or put him on a stretcher? Because those are two different things, I think.
Get in the guy's dome. Like, I thought it was the tamest comments ever when you actually read it or listen to him. The other thing is the 49ers literally hang their hat on, like, putting guys in the blue tent. And everyone celebrates it. Like, part of the celebrate, the 49ers aren't, like, the greatest show on turf. I mean, they kind of have been since Brock Purdy. But their whole thing over the Shanahan era is, like, they will fucking hurt you. And everyone's like, hell yeah! Hell yeah! And then it's like, they're going to hit Purdy. Leave him alone, guys. Leave him alone. Now, the Packers are an awful defense, and Detroit's not great either, though Hutchinson versus McKivitz would be a problem. Let's face it. The number one conversation would be if they play the Ravens in the Super Bowl, can Purdy look better against that defense? Are they too physical and too talented for him? Like, that's one of the – wouldn't you say that's one of the lead conversations of the football game? It's not going to be like – I don't take the Packers defense very seriously. I honestly don't take the Lions defense that seriously either beside some of their front. They're actually, I think, one of the best run defenses in the league, which not sneaky, something that kind of out there elephant in the room, like problem for Kyle if the run game's not working, right? I mean, his whole offense, we've seen before if you can stop the run. Now, their pass defense sucks, but when you stop the run, it really flusters old Kyle, right? Yeah. but they're not the most physical team either relative to like what we witnessed for versus the Ravens. But you can't celebrate crushing people, putting them into the blue tent and be like, you don't mess with Greenlaw. You don't mess with Bosa. And then be like, that is such a, then everyone getting up in arms over Chumura saying to like take a 15-yard penalty. Like I said, with the Michigan-Alabama thing, he clearly did that on purpose to kind of set the tone. Like as Mike Singletary once said in that NFL Films, we're here all day, baby. Like, I mean, this is a violent sport. I mean, this is, even as we regulate the violence to keep the quarterbacks healthy, if you cross the line, the guy will get thrown out of the game, right? So there is a balance. They only have so many good players on the team, right, to begin with. I mean, how many of their defensive starters would you say are like above average? Like four? So it's like, can Kenny Clark afford to get tossed out of the game? Of course not, right? So there's a balance.
How about like having Mark Chamorro?
The whole 49ers thing is like going to be to hit Love and hit him hard, right? You can't just let him just run around. It's my kind of party.
How about having Mark Chamorro on as a football analyst?
You know,
producer books him, says, hey, John, we got Chamorro coming on today.
Wouldn't shock me, though, if he's like a consistent person on the show.
Yeah, it looked like he's wearing a headset.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to go back and do some serious research.
Well, that's exactly what you would do. You'd be like, hold on, let me do some Googling. Is this appropriate?
Wasn't it the babysitter?
Yes. Acquitted.
Acquitted.
But, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Like I said, have to do some Googling. Anyway.
Dana Stubblefield used to be on a lot of Niner stuff until he wasn't, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, the other thing is it highlights, you know, Brock's value, that this guy thinks the way to beat the 49ers is to try and rattle Brock Purdy, because it reflects this quote here from Devontae Wyatt, who said when D linemen just get pressure on Purdy, he's always thrown off, or it's behind them, or it's overthrown, or it's short. When you get pressure on him, it's a guarantee we'll get a turnover. The numbers, like the pressure completion percentage numbers, don't properly reflect. They don't reflect that Brock's pretty good against pressure relative to like just what quarterbacks do against pressure. Really good against the blitz. One of the best quarterbacks in the league against the blitz. Second best completion percentage, most touchdowns, Brock, against the blitz this year in the league.
This defense is kind of feeling themselves after Justin Fields and Dak Prescott two back-to-back weeks. Like, guys, pump the brakes. You guys have been an embarrassment all season long.
I do think the Niners cover this week. And I know we talked about the danger of that, but the Niners have not talked like this at all. They've been, Chris Forster yesterday, I don't know if you saw this, said that after the Week 18 game with the Rams, he texted some of his buddies on the Rams staff, he's the Niners O-line coach, and said, hey, congrats. And they said to him, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. And he said back to them, I don't think so. I think we're going to see the Packers. Like, he thought the Packers were going to beat the Cowboys and that they'd be in this game. He said they've been playing pretty well, which is pretty telling for the Cowboys.
What about Kyle? He's like, when you start getting ready, he's like, second quarter.
Amazing.
We're all working on everything. And then I was like, fuck it.
Yeah. No, they are. I mean, I understand why they're feeling themselves. They are hot right now. Green Bay's hot just as a team. Jordan Love's hot. Yeah. They're hot.
Well, the offense is really hot. To me, the defense, a little manipulated. I mean, Justin Fields can't throw. Listen, they missed on Trey. Thank God they didn't take Mac. They did get Fields right. He can't play from within the pocket. He's an awful thrower within the pocket, and you can't function, right? And that's why a lot of people that final week, it was kind of, you know, the Packers had to win that game to get in, right? And I would say a lot of people were like, the Bears on the road. It's like, say what you want about the Packers. Like, their offense is playing really well. The Bears cannot score. Like, this is not going to work. And because they had 9 points. And last week, I mean, Dak was hideous. He was awful. That first half, his stats and the final score of the game do not do justice what we witnessed in that first half. He was worse than any Niner game the last 2 years. I mean, he could have thrown five picks. The pick six, he hit the guy in stride. The other pick, the Brandon Cooks, that Jair Alexander wasn't even close, throwing like a 50-50 ball to your small receiver. If you just watch that game, you'd be like, Dak Prescott versus Brett Favre in his prime. Like the other guy, and I know they had some touchdowns where there was guys wide open, but that was, to me, that was more about offense than defense. Like Dak was just horrendous. Like the ball was, like if I wanted to defend McCarthy, it's not like McCarthy was like, yeah, throw it right there. I mean, that was just a, you could say put that on the player more than anyone else. Now the defense was lifeless, and in fairness to Mike, that's, you know, they're $5 million defensive coordinators, baby.
Well, I'd say the deep ball pick, like that, those are picks that they throw all the time. Dak throws a ton of 50-50 balls, lollipops. And, you know, the second one was the, it's kind of, that one iced the game. That was as bad as it got for them. Remember, he almost threw another one in the end zone. Maybe on that drop, was it that, the first drive of the second half? I remember
watching thinking there were the two picks and there were at least a couple other ones that were like legitimate pickable balls.
I'm not Mike McCarthy sucks guy. I am they can't win in the playoffs guy because their operation's not buttoned down enough. And Dak's a part of that. Like Dak's loosey-goosey. Their whole thing's a little loosey-goosey.
But that was the thing to me. Like ultimately, let's face it, in that game, Forrester saying, and maybe it just turned out to be an awful matchup because if you can really score against the Packers, you know, if Dak's not perfect, they're fucked. But the Packers showed up. They just, let's face it, didn't have any pressure. And they were massive underdogs. I mean, the difference between the two games, right? What are they? They were 7.5. What's this number right now? 10. So, I mean, they have been enormous underdogs, kind of playing with house money. And they showed up loose and tried hard immediately. Like, that's not going to work here. You know, the 49ers at least shouldn't. I mean, you never know. It's sports. Weird things can happen. Have just proven they don't get tight like Dallas can immediately, at least in the first couple rounds. You know, I mean, it happened a couple years ago, but Jimmy was the quarterback and that Rams game was kind of weird. But that whole season was kind of weird. Like this version of Purdy, they just play looser. Part of it is because they're more explosive on offense. And when you're more explosive on offense, even if you're looking kind of shitty at any moment, you get a 40-yard play, it kind of loosens everyone up. That's a huge, like, you could go 3 and out. Like, let's say this. The game, they go 3 and out. They get the ball first. They go 3 and out.
Punt. Who gets the ball first?
The Niners. 3 and out. Packers score. Well, what if the Packers take it?
I think Packers taking the ball. Or the Niners are deferring.
Okay, good point. So, okay, let's say first drive of the game. Packers just go down the field and score.
Yeah.
Like their offense stays hot. And then the Niners go 3 and out. And you're right. Like, well, they get... Well, it's like, no, let the game settle down. Then you get a stop. Then all of a sudden, you know, on your third drive, maybe you hit Debo for a 50-yard play and the fucking play. It just can loosen up quicker.
Say the Packers get the ball, kick a field goal, 10-0. Now we go, okay. Like, to me, it'd be like, all right, Brock, let's see. What do you got? Kyle, what do you got, right?
10-0 would start to feel a little good. Because the one thing you saw this in the Cowboy game, and this is the playoffs. This is a lot like the NCAA tournament. You know, someone scores first, 7-0. Once you get the 2-score... I don't care if it's first quarter. You just go in the back of your head. You realize this is not week 14. You know, it's like you are one pick away from being like 17. You know, just I think you got to be very careful in these playoff games. 7-0, whatever, or 14-7. I think the moment you get 2 scores, you are a fuck up away. Could just be like, remember McCaffrey's fumble. Who knows? You know, something can happen.
Sorry, I mean, look at like
the I'd be Rams. Shook too. 10-0, 7-0 is fine. 2 scores to me is because that starts bringing in Moody, right? Because if you don't score in the red zone, then he's got to kick field goals.
You said it, you nailed it. It makes it so you can't make mistakes. Like, I think the Rams and the Washington Huskies played similar games, right? Rams get down, you're like, is Detroit about to blow these guys out? And then they score again and they're like right back in it. Same thing with UW, but you're just constantly, unless you're going to suddenly start getting stops, then you're constantly playing catch up. And I think that's one thing with the Niners is they, a lot of times they're like in this position where you're like, are they about to go down 14-0? And then they get a stop on the 5-yard line or they force the team to kick a field goal and then they score a touchdown and you go, all right, it's 10-7. They do that a ton. Like situationally, they're really good at cutting off a wound before you bleed out. They're excellent at that.
True.
They stop blowouts from happening.
Well, the other thing they have going for them is that on any given play, Fred, Greenlaw, Charvarius, they can have a pick, they can force a fumble, they can create a turnover. So, like, when's the last time this kid fucking threw an interception? It's been a while.
Jordan Love? Well, he's got one in the last 21 touchdowns, one pick the last nine games. I don't know when that one pick was.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're talking about a team right now that they're just not turning the ball over. So his last interception was the Giants December 11th. So you're talking well over a calendar month. And that's the only pick he's thrown since November 12th, Pittsburgh. And when you watch him, it does back up. Like, it doesn't feel lucky. Like, he feels like he's playing at a really high level. And the other thing you would say is, this is going to test the other corners. Obviously, Charvarius is going to get tested too. But I'm just saying, they have a wave of guys, right? They have Reed. They have Dobbs. Watson came back last week who can fly. They got multiple tight ends. Like, they do have offensive weaponry that can run. So it's just, you know, they're Ambry Thomas, like that, you know, all the safeties in space. Even if Charvarius has an elite game, just take like the, well, they got multiple guys they can throw on the other side, run around whoever the Niners are throwing out there.
Yeah.
Jason Verrett's already out for the season, so it won't be him.
No. And what happens, you know, Dante Whitner, Pop asked him, or Lund asked him, I heard it yesterday when I was in the car, like, which would you go with, Logan Ryan or Jair Brown? If they're both, who do you start? And Whitner said, I was a little surprised. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised. He said Logan Ryan. He's like, I go with the vet, a rookie in a playoff game. A rookie can make a big mistake. And my reaction was, I got to go with the more talented guy who you're invested in, right? This guy. Yeah. Supposed to be the safety of your future. You got to play him in this playoff game, like, especially in this one, right? If he'd been hurt for 4 weeks and you're bringing him back against the Ravens in the Super Bowl, maybe it's a little bit of a different animal. But in this game should not be a one mistake game for the 49ers. It is.
Yeah, so what, he blows the coverage, he gives up a touchdown. Like, to me, you should score 40 points.
There is no world in which you lose this game because of one mistake. If it comes down to one mistake, then you made 10 other mistakes in this game and, you know, put yourself in that position where one thing beats you, right? If Jake Moody misses the game-winning field goal, like, God, Jake Moody, goat, old goat, like, bad, not good. Well, there got to be 10 other things that went wrong in that game if it comes down to that. Purdy's throwing two picks. McCaffrey fumbles. Bosa's never getting any pressure, right? So yeah. I think you got to roll with him. But it is a legitimate, like, okay, what is Matt LaFleur going to try and do to this defense?
You 100% roll with him, but this is not a situation where he has a long hook. This isn't Bochy, right? This is the new age analytical elites. I mean, if he's struggling out there and they're flying around, you can go to the bullpen, right? But you start guy.
But it's not a bullpen. Like, bullpen, the starter can't come back. Football, it's like, yeah, they could share all the snaps.
Well, exactly. Like,
they've been rotating guards for 2 years.
If it's like 14-7 and he's given up both touchdowns and they're relentlessly attacking him, then just put the other guy in. But let's not act like Logan Ryan's Ed Reed in his prime. I mean, fuck, this guy was available for everyone. That's like, you go with the young guy. He learned from he's going to be your starter for the next several years. The other thing is, he's surrounded by other elite guys. He's got Dre. He's got Fred. He's got Charvarius. He's got the defensive line. Ambry has been making plays for years. Like, I'm sorry. Like, this is not Steve Kerr's NBA here. We roll with young guys in the NFL. You're playing a team full of young guys. Aren't the Packers like
talent?
One of the youngest teams in NFL history?
If this is a Jimmy's and Joe's sport, which it is, right? The best teams have the best players by and large, like the best rosters, the best coaches too, but the best rosters, then play your best Jimmies. Like, he's one of your best Jimmies.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends, and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's Ham50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Oh, the places ground beef from ButcherBox can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code HAM.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone, go to your iPad, download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert, get outside, enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And to me, this is, we're spending a lot of time on that side because it's fun, right? This Jordan Love red hot offense against, you know, an awesome defense. ultimately, even if they score 25 points, to me, the Niners should be over 35. I mean, the over-under to get even odds, I finally figured it out, because the way DraftKings does it is they give you a million different – they start at like 13 points and they go up to like 48. And they just, you know, you start getting incredible odds, you low points, and then obviously, you know, it kind of flips as you go. But to me, the 49ers should score at will. Like Kyle Shanahan should do to this defense what LaFleur just did to the Cowboys. And your defense should be good enough to just slow them down. I have a lot of respect for this group. Like you just the Packers offense, in the sense of the Packers always have a solid offensive line, and their skill guys just look pretty interesting. Like guys the 49ers would want, guys the Cowboys would want. Like they got these guys are good. But to me, defensively, you know, Alexander's been banged up in and out of the lineup all year long. He missed a bunch of games. Then he got hurt last week. And he's clearly one of their best players. Obviously, Kenny Clark is good, right? But he's – I mean, you're talking about a defensive tackle, you know? And you saw last week, like, Aaron Donald is much better. You can only – it's actually – it scares me more. Like, Aiden Hutchinson the following week makes me more nervous than a defensive tackle does. Because you can scheme, you can run the ball different, just get away from him. But like Aiden Hutchinson, they're just going to be passing downs, whereas like he's going to be over Colton McKivitz. And more than likely, you're going to have to leave George and limit his just to, you know, because I saw Matt Stafford last week getting fucking destroyed. Now, the Niners are better than the Rams when they're playing their starters, but like if he's getting hit like Brock Purdy, like if Brock Purdy's getting hit like Stafford, like I could see him getting the stinger again, right? I mean, hell, Stafford got KO'd. I thought he got knocked out of the game.
Jeez,
and then he kind of comes back out of the tent like
that.
This,
replay,
throws the ball, like, and he does this, and he's like, ugh. It's like, Jesus.
That guy is just – I think you could put him behind a brick wall, and he'd find a way to, like, get a spleen puncture or something. It's incredible.
He did on the one where he gets hit kind of late. Well, he gets hit normal, and then he's falling, and the other guy gives him one of these into his head. And he's on the ground like this. With like
yeah, that's the one where his eyes were just like.
Yeah.
Because then he comes back out the next possession and they stop play. And I'm like, oh, the medical examiner is about to say, like, go check him. That's what I thought was happening. And it turned out they were checking to see if Puka Nacua had been checked for a concussion.
Yeah.
But
it's like, you know how they let fouls go in the NBA in the playoffs, a little more physical. Same thing with concussions in the playoffs.
On quarterbacks.
Yeah, on quarterbacks.
Iceman Super Chat says, I saw the Steve Young Brock Purdy interview. He's big on faith, and if football doesn't do well, he seems to be okay with that. Any concerns that he's not a football junkie? Did you see any Steve Young did a sit down with Brock?
I just saw the clip about his like his mindset of not getting too high, not getting too low. Yeah. Like a minute. I didn't know that's a 49er broadcast.
I think it was like in the 49ers studios type deal. Because Steve had to, I think Steve had to be there to record the hype video. He did the voiceover for the Niners, you know, hype video. It's in moments like these. And you know, I think Steve's kind of the perfect guy to ask, you know, because Steve is religious. I think it's a really interesting person to have interview Brock. I heard some clips of it, and no, I'm not. There's no concern that he's not a football junkie, but I think maybe that question's coming from
religion is not a big part of my life. It's a massive part of a lot of people in the NFL. Like, it's very big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, I think
sure the thing that went viral about CJ Stroud, you know, opens up his after he wins about his Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And then like CBS News replayed it and they cut that out. Like, obviously, you know, the powers that be get uncomfortable with it.
They could have edited it for time. Like most,
I am not religious. Edited. No, I think, I mean, I think it's fair.
It was a live interview, which they then clipped down.
Well, they clipped the entire thing. They just cut the open.
Yeah. But I think things get edited for content all the time. Like I want someone to stick on this video past 2 seconds. Like, how do I make sure they stick on this video past 2 seconds?
Yeah, I mean, I
think it's a reasonable
I would agree thing. With you, but I think we have enough examples. Again, I'm not support, like, I'm not a churchgoer, but I think it's pretty clear where the people stand on the church going. You know, I'm not trying to get in some deep media.
No, I know. I'm just saying, I think everyone goes that direction. And it's like,
every single clip that ends up on the internet gets edited for, we want people to stay on this video past a second and a half. Every single one. Yeah. If they don't do it, they're doing it wrong.
Yeah. He just, CJ Stroud, who's the apple of everyone's eyes, really, you know, all these guys are, you know, like you go to church on Sunday morning, like before the game, like the service that the guy around the team, it's usually packed.
Well, what like are Sundays
most of these guys?
God in football.
Yeah.
God in football, John.
Kurt Warner.
You could argue if they want clicks, they should have left it in because a lot of people would love it.
I'm going to go out on a limb saying they did it on purpose. Less about the clip getting.
That's what seems to be what most people think on the internet.
Yeah.
What most people think about it. But as it relates to Brock, like I don't, it's a positive for him. It's a real positive. I'd be curious. I don't know. I didn't hear the whole interview. My question for Brock would be like, Brock, if you were not religious, would you be this person that you are, right? That is like handling all of this adversity and all this pressure and all this stuff. I would guarantee that his answer would be no. If it wasn't for God in my life, I would not be this way. And you know, I heard Steve Young talking about it because he said, if you said to Brock, or maybe somebody else made it,
is it Steve pretty religious?
Well, yeah, that's why he's a perfect person, I think, to kind of like help people understand. Like, you know, one thing he said was, Steve said later, because he was talking to Tolbert about it, he's like, if Brock said, you know, God sent me a message to go do something else, I don't know if Brock would go do that thing right now, like go whatever, start a different business. But right now, that's how Brock feels. And you have to respect that that is how he feels, right? That if God said, go do something else, Brock believes he would go do that other thing. That doesn't mean he's not a football junkie. He believes he's in this position for a reason, right? That's what Brock believes he's right here, right now, because that is what God intends for him and has planned for him. And I think it's the opposite of like him not being a football junkie because of it. I think it creates this incredible conviction for him and this belief in himself and this belief that this is the position that he's in. I think it's really cool. I think it's a big part of why he is able to handle being the 49ers quarterback, not the opposite of that.
Remember Grant Desme?
It sounds,
Cal Poly guy, unreal home run hitter, gets drafted by the A's.
Oh, like only remember. You've told
and
me.
And is on the fast path to the big leagues. Like this guy was headed to the big leagues, you know, like 22, just retires, becomes a priest. I mean, this guy was legit.
Well, so his baseball career had not like stalled out.
In 2009, Desme had an extraordinary season. He had a combined 288 with 31 doubles, 6 triples, 31 home runs, and stole 40 bases in Class A. He got advanced to Double A. I mean, he was on the fast track. He was fucking dominating. Wow.
And what happened? Like he just.
This is quote. I was doing well at baseball, but I really had to get down to the bottom of things. I love the game, but I aspire to higher things. I wasn't at peace with where I was at. I have no regrets on Grant Desme on becoming a priest.
I wonder if he'd been a starting quarterback in the NFL, if it would have been different. Because I'm not being sarcastic. Like when you're the starting quarterback of the Cowboys or the 49ers or the Texans or whoever, like you can impact a lot of lives, right?
I think baseball, you probably feel like you're a golfer or something, like a lot of just by myself, individual, you're just pretty hollow. Yeah. I think the football thing, you have a huge impact on a lot of people, on a community, on a fan base, on an organization. I mean, seriously, you do.
On a country,
I remember Carson Palmer told me, Carson Palmer said the thing that he misses most about being in the NFL was every single day walking in that building, knowing every single person. Player, coach, trainer, you name it, is looking at you. And that pressure of leading the group and the standard in which you have to hold yourself to and everyone else is, you know, just in the tone of your voice. You know, just their kids want to talk. It's just, it's a lot of pressure. It's hard. You got to have, it overwhelms a lot of people. Like, I think one good example is Baker Mayfield. If you watched his interview with Lisa Salters at the end of that game, you know what I saw? A normal guy that just like most people, just matured from 23 years old to 28. Like he's clearly grown up a little bit, right? not everyone is able to be as mature as Brock Purdy, right? Right. Not everyone has, you know, was Mahomes super mature or was he super talented and had Andy on his ass, you know? And now you see a grown-up version, but it's just like he got a perfect. Some guys, you know, Baker was like a little immature in Cleveland. Things could get weird. Like Jalen. Jalen is super mature. Like I saw this video, someone forwarded it to me, like, of course this failed. Last year there was a moment of like Sirianni, might have been in the Super Bowl. Like there was a flag and he like did one of these. He's like, and Jalen like kind of hits his hand like, fuck, bro, calm down. Honestly, Jalen probably needs someone more like a more serious guy to get the most out of him, right? He's just around the wrong guy. He'd be better off with like a Vrabel or just.
Well, Jalen's more serious than his quarterback. That should never happen. Your quarterback should never be more serious than the coach.
I know. It's a problem. Major problem.
And the coach can't help him. That's the other problem.
I think one of Brock's why he's able to, and I think this is a Drew Brees thing too. Brock Purdy, if you just look at the quarterbacks, I did this the other day. 8 guys are left, right? 7 of them are first rounders. And several of them are high picks, right? Baker Goff, 1 overall. Mahomes, 10 or 12 or whatever number he went. Josh Allen, 7. Lamar, one of the weirdest picks of all time. If you did that draft over, it's obviously Josh and Lamar 1-2, like 1A, 1B. He went 32, and C.J. Stroud went 2. And then you look at this game, like one guy was a first-round pick. It's crazy. Like it doesn't feel like that, but he was, just because there's so much time removed from when he first got drafted and played, he kind of was MIA. And the other guy's picked 262. Like the only way to make it, like part of whenever you watch those, which we all were inundated with for years, like all the Brady stuff, it's like his drive and how serious it was and how bad he wanted it and how little he was fucking around was just like insane. Have the margin, like ultimately if CJ Stroud, if it turns out he was immature and didn't work that hard, like he still would have started and played and hell, he might've been fine his rookie year. Obviously he's really high level guy, but like Brock had no margin for error without showing up operating like a 32-year-old Philip Rivers.
Yeah. You know? YouTube last night suggested to me a Gronk clip from the Kelce podcast like last year. And Jason asked him like, what was Tom like, you know? And he's like, I was like, this guy's such an asshole. Like, why is he's not my friend. He's like a coach. You know, like he was mean. He was mean to me. He was mean to everybody. And, you know, he was just serious. He was really serious. Imagine Gronk, like Gronk would have been on a lot of other teams, still a superstar, right? Because he's a physical freak and he plays really hard. But with Tom, I think people just assume he goes to play with Tom and Tom just throws this big guy the ball and it works. But imagine how much more mature he had Gronk.
Imagine how much more he had. I remember hearing Gronk say that as he got older, he used to tell Tom, like, you can't be so hard on these first-year guys. They don't even understand. It's like you're speaking Chinese to them. Yeah, so when you're screaming at them, it's, like, overwhelming. But in fairness to Tom and Peyton, like, you watch the Jordan documentary, like, you're just – it ain't changing.
Super chat from Charlie says, Spanos is finally going to pay for a coach, John. Thank you for all you and others do for bullying the Chargers into hiring Harbaugh. You deserve a statue.
Yeah.
Are they going to do it?
I mean, if he accepts, I mean, I think it's pretty clear he's got a major offer. I will give them credit for this. They finally at least acknowledged, like, this is our only option. If we don't go, you know, we cannot afford to go cheap again. Now, it's a decade late, but, I mean, wouldn't it have been nice for Philip Rivers to get a John Harbaugh? Whenever they fired Marty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
Like, they've had a real, like, a guy that's a head coach, you know? Anthony Lynn, great guy. He's like a number 3.
Right.
You know? Mike McCoy, quarterback coach, not even a number 2. Brandon Staley.
A DC.
Can you imagine when some team is like, Brandon, when all these coaches get hired and someone's, or Joe Barry gets fired. It's like, so-and-so has announced Brandon Staley is their new DC. That fan base.
It's going to be. I mean, it could be.
I think a lot of people think it's going to be the Packers.
Oh, I read today Joe Barry might be earning his job back.
What if he gives up 50?
I think it's – to me, it's one of these, like, you win this game, he immediately keeps his job, right?
Guy, if they win this game, it would feel like one of the biggest upsets in NFL history.
It would feel like that right now. Yeah, I agree.
I would imagine, in NFL history – obviously, we've had bigger upsets in the regular season when you have these like 15, 20-point underdogs. They've won in the history of the league. I can't imagine. I have to do some Googling. Has a double-digit underdog ever won a playoff game? I'm sure it's happened, but it's probably happened less than two or three times max in the history of the league. It would feel like in my lifetime. I do think like everyone's like, why are we still talking about the Cowboys? Well, we witnessed... and the Cowboys is one of the most jarring things I've ever witnessed. Just because of the way it looked. Not necessarily, quote unquote, an upset. I mean, it was an upset, but it's like an understandable upset. This would be insanity.
All right. So since 2000, there have been 25 double-digit spreads in NFL playoff games. The largest spread was Patriots, minus 16 over the Texans in 16. They covered AFC, New England. I'm just trying to see if somebody... New England plus 10 beat Pittsburgh 2001. 19 AFC divisional Tennessee was plus 10 when they beat Baltimore.
I would say the New England Brady Belichick plus 10 aged pretty well. That's incredible value.
Yep.
That's like getting Tesla at like $2.
Seattle plus 10 beat New Orleans in 2010 in the NFC wildcard. Was that the under 500 team at home? Seattle was at home.
The Quake Rumble.
Yeah, it's weird though, right? Home game. Arizona plus 10, Carolina 08, Super Bowl, Giants, Pats. Yeah, I mean,
it's happened.
Yeah, but I mean, it's happened.
They're all historic. Are they pretty historic, all these moments?
They're all historic. I mean, one, two, yeah. I mean, I would say they're all really memorable. Like, you remember almost all these. Do you remember Chargers, Colts, 2007? Chargers plus 11 beat Indy. I mean, it would have been a Peyton choke job, probably, is what it felt like at the time, would be my guess.
I think... that was when Phillip Rivers tore his ACL, and then they played the Patriots in the AFC Championship, and that was the undefeated Patriot team, and they actually gave them all they could handle, if memory serves me correct.
Yeah.
The Colts had won the Super Bowl the year before. Peyton actually sneaky had a lot of letdown moments.
Sneaky?
He's coming.
I remember like living, you know, if you remember it, like it was the whole thing was Peyton's a choker. People thought Peyton was a choker.
Guy, he was the defending Super Bowl champ, and he lost a fucking game as an 11-point favorite. Was that game in Indy?
Well, it had to have been, right?
I mean, what the fuck?
The only way those games are...
If I'm Tom Brady, like, I get we're synonymous with each other, but at least, like, Larry and Magic, like, I won 3, he won 5, I won more MVPs than him. We're kind of viewed as equals. If I'm Tom, like, our names are synonymous with each other, but our resume sure as hell aren't.
Well, it's the further away you get from it, the harder it is to remember. But at the time...
it's like
they were neck and neck, and then Peyton. I mean, then Peyton was the way it became was that Tom tortured Peyton. Like, that's what it became, right? Like, Tom is his torturer. But then as time goes on,
Bill punked him.
That's right. But then time goes on, and he's on ESPN all the time. And
he won. I mean, he
did. He got his championship.
I think when you really look, he got to 4 Super Bowls and 1-2. Feels a little let downy.
Well, it does.
In a weird way, I would say him and Rodgers for their greatness. And if you wanted to argue, you know, separating the 80s guys, obviously of the last 25 years, it's Brady, Manning, and Rodgers. And one guy was just going to 9, and you just felt like he was going to win every time. And these other guys, you just never felt confident they were going to win the big game. Even when you did feel confident, then when it started to shift when you were watching it, you're like, of course. Fucking of course Green Bay is going to win this or lose this game. Not a soul, not even us, thought that 49ers were going into Green Bay. And then you're watching, you're like, fuck, something's always off with Aaron, you know, always.
All right, we got to go, but one more super chat. I remember you recommending Tito's and Arnold Palmer tea, to Arnold Palmer tea, my go-to game day drink to calm my nerves. Any concerns about the weather?
What's the weather like?
the latest forecast. I think it's supposed to rain. Yeah, it's supposed to rain. 60 degrees and rainy.
These guys are in Green Bay where it's like negative 10. It's an upgrade.
They probably practiced in that this week, right? They have a tent. They got to have a dome, a little like inflatable.
Yeah.
And then inflatable.
They have a dome.
So they're ready for it then. So you should maybe a little concerned for the Niners about it because those guys might be more ready for the weather because it hasn't been raining this week for the Niners. But it's, you know, chilly. Grass is brown on the practice field. All right.
We're so, I mean, 60 degrees is chilly. I mean, yeah, these guys, look around the NFL.
I got out there yesterday.
I saw the headline. McDermott was like, we're ready for anything. Because it's like the weather kind of keeps changing between like 10, negative 3, snowstorm, sleet.
I know. I went out there in a vest yesterday. I'm like, I got a little warm. Sun's on me.
Well, even when you see the picture of the players, like, it's not very cold.
I know. All right. Time to roll. I recorded an interview with our boy Cam Inman. That's going to come up on the YouTube a little later today, a little later Thursday. So check that out. And anything else?
Cal Poly!
You got anything else?
No.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Later. Have a great day.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.